Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, and myself, LeVar Arrington. Make sure you catch us live weekdays 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can listen to this show, as always, on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us on hundreds of Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and wherever you are, making us a part of your Tuesday morning. We appreciate you doing so. We'll take you all the way up until 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. As it stands right now, I'm assuming that they are currently meeting in South Bend, Brady Quinn, Brian Kelly, and your buddies, the 18-year-olds. They're at hanging out, talking about why he decided to go ahead and leave them for LSU. So how long do you think this meeting is going to go? Over, under 10 minutes. How long do you think it's going to go?
I would say under. Under. And here's the reality of the situation. Some of what's being said probably will find its way to social media. I mean, he has to think that after the message he sent last night to the players, basically contacting them about the meeting and telling them about the situation, that made its way. And that was obviously from a player who leaked that. So I would imagine that some portion of this will end up being public knowledge. But the other thing is I do wonder how he's going to handle, you know, what's left, what coaches he's going to try to bring with him, what players he's going to try to recruit. I mean, if I'm Notre Dame, given that he's making this decision,
get him the hell out of
here.
I'm
getting him out as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah. Do not even give him that contact.
Yep.
And I would monitor that last meeting too. Like, hey, look here.
I would have security escort him out.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, I mean, this is
no
real.
Seriously.
This is real.
You're laughing.
Really?
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're an enemy now.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he chose to leave. It wasn't like they were firing him. Like, I've been a part of when Ty Willingham got fired at Notre Dame. I mean, you're talking about, you know, seeing not grown men, but I 18 to 22 year old, if you can go serve and fight this for this country, you're a man. And I've seen some men cry over that. I was emotional over that. I loved Ty, the type of man he was, everything. He was part of the reason why I went to Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, I also knew, like, I was upset because I felt like I didn't do enough as a player. This is entirely different. These players have done everything to build his legacy, and now he's walking out on them and choosing to go in a different direction. And the timing of all of it, like, I keep going back to that because he's choosing to leave, and we don't even know if they're going to be playing for a national championship. Think about that for a second. And here's the reality is, it's kind of damning if people want to make it seem like he's all about winning a national championship at LSU.
If you're that close to winning one right now, you roll out.
Yes.
I mean, that's, yeah.
I mean, think about the hypocrisy of that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be all about winning a national championship if you might find yourself in a playoff and you're bouncing just to take a bunch of money somewhere else to supposedly go win one there. Like, okay. But you might have a chance to actually play for one this year, and you're leaving that opportunity out there. It's crazy to me. And again, if I was any of those players, I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't a bunch of FUs. Like, get out.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
How do you take that type of news? And then I'll say this from the coach's standpoint: how do you handle a situation where you feel like there's a better opportunity for you out there and you could possibly lose that opportunity by waiting to do it? I mean, I think he found himself in a compromising position, but I mean, I guess the only thing he has to concern himself with is how he feels about himself. And I guess in the end, how does his loved ones feel about him? But I just, you know, as somebody who, and listen, I don't make money coaching. I've not done it to make money. I just coach because I love being able to mentor young men and be a part of their lives. And I just, again, I come back to the idea of what messages represent to young growing men. And at this age, they're getting to the point, I always say, you're getting to the point of where your skull is hardening, meaning that it's going to be harder and harder for your brain to grow because you don't have any more storage space. And once you're closed on being able to expand that knowledge to that level, it's basically building off of what you know. And college, especially freshman, sophomore years, those are some of the most critical years of development in terms of how you view things. And some people may sit there and say, well, you can't overvalue what a coach's impact or you know what the development on somebody is based off of a coach. And I would say you couldn't be the furthest thing from realizing what the realities of what a coach represents to developing young people. And so to me, when you do things like this, I would just say I hope some way, somehow, he was able to say something that made enough sense to from a man to young men, and some are men. I just hope he said something. He offered something that created a lesson to be learned. Because there's going to be a lesson regardless of what he said.
Yeah, how not to do things.
There's going to be lessons. But I hope that he leaves them with something positive enough where it makes some sort of sense out of everything that's taking place. Because they are the ones in the end that suffer the most.
So obviously I got cut off, had a technical issue earlier, but you know, one of the things that I think college football needs is some sort of governance in regards to all this, and really to push back that early signing date, which becomes difficult because, you know, kids are turning around and they're enrolling in that spring semester in January a lot of times, but that's what spurred the how quick and how fast everything moved, because LSU needs to find that guy to then start recruiting on their behalf and try to flip some kids for this 2022 cycle that's coming up. And so that's why you see such a need for this. The reality is they really should do something where that signing can't happen until a week or two after the college football playoff is decided. There's just too many moving parts. It's one of the reasons why there's been a push in NFL circles to try to slow down the hiring process until after the Super Bowl. So an assistant like Eric Bieniemy, for example, doesn't have to try to worry about game planning as well as interviewing and knowing he can't take the job until they're out of it, right? Well, unfortunately for him, as a Kansas City Chiefs offensive coordinator, they've been in at least the AFC Championship game, if not the Super Bowl, the past 3 years.
Yeah.
And so it kind of holds him back from being able to devote all his time from going in there and crushing an interview and maybe getting a head coaching job. So college football needs to do the same. Because then you avoid this sort of awkwardness right now that we're getting to. Or, you know, maybe it just speaks to, again, Brian Kelly and the decision he made at the time he did. You know, and it speaks to kind of who he is, which isn't a good thing. But the truth of the matter is, I don't know how you get around it. Because you can't let him say, well, he's going to take the LSU job, but he's going to stay here and coach this team for the rest of the season. Then you're worried about him flipping guys. You're worrying about how all that's going to transpire. So, like, as we talked about, he's going to say whatever he's going to say right now. He might be done by now. It's about 7:09. And then they're going to escort him out, or they should escort him out and say, see ya. Hope LSU's picking you up because we ain't paying for you to leave.
Is there a justifiable reason Brian Kelly could give that would make you feel better about the way that he departed?
$100 million. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you say, hey, guys, $100 million. You kind of just go, hey, at least he's honest. At least he's honest.
Because I wonder, and you mentioned there's got to be more to it than just, you know, than some of what is being reported as to, or, you know, being speculated as to why he took the LSU job, easier to recruit, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, that's all the lazy, easy. I'm telling you, it's about ego. It's about relationships.
So
it always is.
Are we ever going to find out what that is, or is Notre Dame so tight-lipped?
I'm telling you right now. It's the relationship between him and the athletic director, Jack Swarbrick.
Yeah.
That there's been a falling out there, and it is what it is. But look, if you were going to find a new head coach in this cycle, it's a good time to be looking for one, right? I mean, USC's first choice wasn't Lincoln Riley, And they fell into that. At least short term, it looks like it might work out for them. I mean, Pete Carroll wasn't their first choice, by the way. And it look how that turned out. So just because, you know, you don't necessarily get your first choice doesn't mean it's a bad thing. But there's plenty of coaches, plenty of angles this could go. I mean, obviously, Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell are two of the hot names. But Marcus Freeman, who's on that staff, people are trying to push him up because he does such a good job recruiting. And he's young, very eloquent, you know, defensive mind in the game. And then you've got other guys who, like, I heard someone last night throw out Matt LaFleur. And it sounds crazy because you're like, why would you look at a college job if you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
Because the money is crazy.
Because no, the money. You are getting paid now more at college than you are the NFL.
Absolutely.
That market in college is moving faster. And it sounds crazy, but let's just say Aaron Rodgers isn't there next
100%.
Year. 100%. Is that as attractive of a job?
No.
Not at all.
And in fact, that would be, to me, if you're going to leave, like, why not wait? You know, if Rodgers
leave
bail,
when he leaves,
yeah, 100%.
Because you don't want to take yourself down.
Yeah, and go to Notre Dame. Why
the
not?
Hard thing is again the timing. Like, this is a dude who they might be playing for a Super Bowl,
right?
But he did coach at Notre Dame recently. He is a Midwest guy. So when someone said that to me, I was like, yeah, I guess. I mean, but the timing of it doesn't really work right now with college football and how this all operates.
Hell,
but
if they offer him $100 million, y'all grown men. Let me give you guys a little bit of perspective here. To the college young men, that's different. We need to talk about this. But y'all, you're a grown-ass man. I'm out. Good luck to y'all. I hope everything works out. You know, because if I was messing up, they would fire me in a hot second and put in an interim, and y'all go from there. So I'm just letting y'all know they offered me They offered me 10 figures. I'm out.
Hey, LeVar, am I wrong? Like, if he walked in there and said $100 million, like, do you just go, all right, I kind of get that.
I get it. But the only way I could be okay with you leaving us like this with a national championship ahead is you give me a personal NIL deal.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a couple coins out of that $100 million, Coach, because you know what? We helped you get it.
Yeah, that's we'll see. I mean, listen, now let's hope you know, another player releases some sort of footage or some sort of evidence like he did the message last night, because that 100% came from a player. I'm just wondering if we'll ever find out who that player was that left the message Brian Kelly sent to everybody. I thought it was a joke at first. Just the way it was messaged, and then it was like, oh, okay, that's a real thing. All right, it is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio, LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox, brought to you by Discover. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, so coming up next, we are going to find out the severity of a couple of key injuries in the NFL and how it could impact a couple of playoff teams making a push towards a Super Bowl. That's yours next year on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Coming up later on this hour, we've got a potential quarterback controversy in the NFL, one brewing, and we are a very interested party here on this show because we're rooting for somebody to finally get a chance. That'll be happening here later this hour.
Yeah, that's
FSR.
Right, baby. That's right, baby.
Right now, though, that's right, baby, is Dr. David
Whoa.
Chow.
Whoa.
He is the pro football doc. Always good stuff when he pops on with us here every single time on Fox Sports Radio. Dr. Chow, what's happening? How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
So we're just trying to figure out what the hell's going on with Aaron Rodgers. What is the injury? I saw that surgery is now not going to be happening. They've got a bye week. So what is happening with Aaron Rodgers and the toe issue?
Obviously, the COVID toe was not COVID toe. He was just making an offhand comment that it happened during his COVID quarantine when he kicked a heavy bag and broke his big toe. But let me ask, you know, Brady and LeVar, have you ever heard of, on you or any of your teammates, delayed surgery for any fracture, much less pinky toe surgery for a fracture? I mean, if he were to have surgery now, it'd be 3 weeks after the injury, and he's already played two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I fractured a sesamoid bone in my foot. I still haven't gotten – I've got like a bunion now from it, and it's a little painful at times, but I still hadn't gotten that operated on. And I did wait. I tried to play with my mallet finger for a game, or at least a half, and then I got surgery on that. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but I did try to put it off as long as I could.
I still have put it off. Yeah. I had mallet finger. I still have it and never did anything with it. So
I don't think you're fixing that now, though.
No, I'm not going to try to fix it now.
No, I get that. I guess what I'm saying is it's 3 weeks old. You played two games successfully with it, albeit you had to numb it up. You have a bye week, and the next time you play, it's 5 weeks after the fracture. It's not 100% healed, but it's pretty good. I never thought that was on the radar screen to make surgery. So.
Hey, Doc, can I ask you this? Like, I know you always do these great, awesome video breakdowns. I was watching Monday Night Football last night, saw some of the breakdowns you were doing on some stuff. But when Aaron, like, lifted up and showed his toe on the Pat McAfee show, were you breaking that down? Like, were you looking at that going, all right, let's see what these toes look like? Like, how deep into it did you get with that particular video of him showing his foot?
Well, I will admit, I initially resisted because I was like, why don't you want to go there? But everyone kept talking about the pinky toe and the toe and the toe. So I did do a video yesterday. It's on my Twitter timeline, or actually there's a YouTube channel, whatever, Pro Football Doc. And my video producer put up a picture of Aaron showing off his toes. And my title of the little piece was like, can we finally put this to bed, put this to rest? I mean, it's much ado about a pinky toe. I mean, we're fine here. And I was trying to make a video just to say what I'm telling you guys. Let's turn the page on this. It's too much about this. But I will say this. Joe Buck, the Fox broadcast, had the line of the day, I thought, when the sideline reporter said, you know, he got this pain-killing injection before the game, made a big deal about it, and Joe chimed in with, so he's immunized his toe against pain. And I thought that was a pretty good line. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, when he started limping a little bit, likely because the numbing injection was wearing off, I was kind of thinking he needed a booster shot, right? And that does happen.
What about Russ's finger? And so Aaron Rodgers does a block on his pinky toe. But, you know, we've been wondering what the pain tolerance is going to be, what his ability to be able to deliver balls would be coming out of this surgery. What do you think the pregame movement is, or procedures are, if any, with Russell Wilson's middle finger?
Well, first of all, I thought he threw the ball a lot better in the first half, including a couple of deep balls, and Brady can do the analysis better than I can. But in the second half, it seemed like something was not right again. I don't know if it's the finger or the scheme or no run game or whatever it was. But here's the thing. You absolutely can numb up your middle finger, and it doesn't change the function in your hand or your finger. But a lot of quarterbacks, and I'll let Brady comment on this, don't like not feeling, not having the feel in the tip of their finger, and that throws them off. So that is not why sometimes quarterbacks won't do it. Whereas your pinky toe, who cares? I mean, when it's cold out, you don't feel it anyway, so not a big deal.
Yeah, I would personally never want to have my hand numbed up. Like, I got to feel the ball. I got to feel it come off my fingertips. Because even, like, for your release point, it would just jack all that up. That's one of the reasons why in cold weather, when you can't feel your hands, usually completion percentage goes down. Because you can't feel it. You don't have as good of a feel for the ball spinning off your fingers.
Yeah, and I've heard that before. It wouldn't be your whole hand, but I'm sure it would annoy you and just feel weird if it was the tip of your middle finger as well, I'm sure.
Dr. David Chow joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, the Pro Football Doc with us here on Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. All right, so Dr. Chow, I see Christian McCaffrey's season is over. He goes on IR again. But I saw that you had pointed out that, you know, it didn't seem like a more significant ankle injury than what Saquon Barkley went through earlier this year. And you were kind of thinking the same thing I was, to where my thought is they're trying to make sure he's healthy in the offseason in case they want to deal him, if they're trying to make a move, Carolina. Are you surprised if they plan on keeping him long term that they wouldn't try and get him back on the field this season based on the significance of the injury?
I strongly agree with you there that there's something going on. And I don't know that I know exactly what's going on, but let's look at the fact pattern. And I did just make another video, one of the longer ones, discussing this in the sense that, number one, if you look at the ankle sprain, it didn't look that bad. He played the rest of the second quarter. Head coach even said the x-rays are negative. I thought he could tape it up and come back in. And here's the strangest part. Besides, you could compare that, and I put it in the video, against Saquon Barkley's ankle sprain, against Miles Sanders' recent ankle sprain. Saquon missed 4 weeks. Miles Sanders missed 3 weeks. But those looked worse. There's 6 weeks left in the season, and they put him on injured reserve Monday. He took a flight home Sunday. He got an MRI Monday. By midday, he was on an IR. Second opinion, who knows? Usually, you don't go that quick. If you look at his hamstring injury from earlier this year, they waited two and a half weeks before they put him on IR. Okay, maybe there was an aggravation. Last year, where they put him on IR, they put him on IR Wednesday, not Monday. This year, they put him on quickly. Last year, the shoulder, when he got hurt after he came back from his high ankle, he didn't get put on IR at all because it would have ended his season. Instead, he went out, doubtful, questionable, but never played again. This time on Monday, they put him on injured reserve. They did not have a corresponding move to add someone to the 53-man roster. And remember, the Panthers are on a bye week next week. So it's not like they had to make any immediate decisions to change anything. So I'm not sure what's going on there, but I think you're right. Something is going on there.
Doc, I wanted to ask you just about, you know, the COVID reserve list and how the NFL is handling this moving forward. T.J. Watt, obviously one of the better defensive players, was put on that recently, I think yesterday, which is a huge loss for a Steelers team that can't afford to lose some of their star players. When are we going to get to a point where we're not going to have this all together? Like, at what point do you foresee – and I'm serious in asking this. Like, at what point do you foresee the NFL saying, hey, look – we understand this is going to be an issue for teams moving forward, but these guys are vaccinated, or maybe they're not. But either way, they've made the choice. We've come long enough, far enough now where we understand that, you know, it's really more about not spreading this because the Dallas Cowboys aren't affected by it. The Pittsburgh Steelers are impacted by it. Is this something that, like, we're going to see for infinity into the future? Or do you think there's a window right now in regards to the COVID list and how long it's going to last?
Well, you know, my simple answer to you, and I'm not trying to be political here, but I'm just saying not soon enough. I mean, for me, for all this, contact tracing and how many days and this test and PCR. I mean, it's to me, I'd rather just talk about football. I get we have to be safe in terms of what's going on. But, you know, now we're talking about Omicron and all this other stuff. One thing I have to remind people, and this is not, like I said, red or blue political commentary one way or the other. But when I was in the NFL, every year, every fall, we would encourage late fall, early winter, encourage players on the team to get the, quote, regular influenza flu shot. And not everyone would do it, right? It was optional, but we would encourage people to do it. And you had to get that every year because the vaccine was trying to predict what new strains would come out. The concept of new strains is not new. How the NFL will react to it will depend on, you know, what's happening in the world around us. But, you know, for everyone's health sake and also for the sake of football, I hope all this up and down stuff ends. And the talking about it, you know, has been interesting. For example, there was a report saying there were 8 Cowboys players who've tested positive. As I've done the research throughout the day and looked at all the people that practiced and everything, and only Terrence Steele was on the list, I think that meant that there have been 8 total Cowboy players this year, not 8 surprise players about to be players or staffers. Obviously, head coach Mike McCarthy is out, who are about to test positive and be announced. That was 8 for the season.
Right. Can I ask this question? Like, if you test positive for the influenza virus, but you're asymptomatic, are you sick?
Well, you know, sick is a layman definition. And if you swabbed, even if you brushed your teeth and Listerined and the whole deal, if you swabbed your mouth immediately afterwards and put it on a petri dish, you grow lots of different bacteria, but it doesn't make you necessarily sick. Obviously, and not to be grotesque, but, you know, your intestines, part of the digestive system is bacteria. Now, that's different than a virus. But, yeah, I mean, I guess you could talk about carriers and different things and so forth. But, yeah, I think it's debatable if you're sick.
He is Dr. David Chow. You can get him on Twitter at Pro Football Doc. He is our Pro Football Doc. Always kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Doctor, we appreciate you getting up early with us. Let's do it again soon. Always great stuff, man.
Thanks, Doc.
All right, sir.
Always a good conversation with him there here on Fox
Very
Sports
informative.
Radio.
Who was the doctor? He's Brady awesome, or our doctor.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Brady knows his stuff.
Brady
man.
Is.
I was just asking questions.
You're pretty, I mean, not Notre Dame education.
I'm
be jumping
you,
out, bro. Let
me tell you something.
You're a pretty bright dude, man.
They didn't teach me that at Toys R Us when I was doing maintenance.
Tell you what, man.
Brady
said. Did
like,
you take yeah. anything from any of your past jobs that apply it moving forward? Like, was there any sort of like corporate mantra or something where you're like, you know what, that's pretty good. I'm gonna use that when I get
yeah,
yes.
A couple. I mean, a couple. I got most of it from my dad. Like my dad was just
That wasn't the question. I'm asking if any of your jobs that you had that were crappy jobs had anything that led you to like use moving forward.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, what?
That I wanted to be in a better place. That I wanted to, realized. All right, like those are real jobs. This is not a real job. So there's, you know, an appreciation, and a gratitude for what we get to do because there's people out there that are driving to a real job right now, and so that's why I never look at this like work. You know, I mean,
yeah. So no is the
yeah,
answer.
Yeah. So there's right. that.
On a totally separate note,
missing my entire life. I appreciate.
On
that.
A separate
go
note,
ahead,
did
Lamar?
You did you see the way the Dykes showed up to TCU?
Huh?
What?
What?
Did you see the way
you
the Dykes?
Sonny Dykes, the
yeah.
head coach?
Oh, yeah, yeah, did? Yeah, the coach.
Yeah.
The coach,
yeah.
The way the coaches showed
up. No, how'd he show up?
You didn't see the way the Dykes pulled into to the TCU stadium?
No, how did Sonny Dykes pull in?
He was in a helicopter. They landed him on the 50-yard line and said, Dykes is here. Come to our game. We got Dykes now.
Oh, boy.
At LeVar Arrington on Twitter. That's where you can find him.
Coach Sonny Dykes.
Yeah. Hey now.
Hey, that's his name.
I know. I didn't know where you
I
were
mean,
going.
I don't know what you guys are thinking.
No,
I'm just saying, Coach showed up in style. Yeah, they flew him in a helicopter.
Just you know.
Is that more baller? Is that more baller than a private jet?
Yeah, it's
is it
what?
Like a helicopter landing on the 50 or like a nice Gulfstream landing at a private airport? Like, I always feel like it looks pretty dope when you see, like, when Lincoln Riley, like, was, first off, taking off from Norman. That was, like, an interesting thing to follow it. There were people, like, outside of Norman filming the SUVs, pulling up the crying, taking off.
Tears in their
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah, we get it. And then it showed them landing in L.A. and getting
people
off
people crying,
the plane.
Tears
yeah.
of joy.
Yep. But it's like there's something dope about watching people come off a private plane.
True.
I just think it's more baller than even a helicopter. A helicopter could land in my backyard. And I wouldn't be. I'd be like, yeah, it's not.
That's
really
a helicopter.
Cool. It's a helicopter.
I mean,
the only
saving grace in all of this is the fact that you only have one more week with a Big Noon Kickoff, Brady Quinn, because you know Matt and Reggie are going to be obnoxious about this Lincoln Riley hiring. Like it's
the funny thing is though, like even the Brian Kelly, because we're on a text chain. I was like, you know, he turned y'all down. Like he thought LSU was a better job than USC. Like that's the reality of it. And by the way, he wasn't the only coach that turned it down.
And by the way, they probably are right. Sorry, USC fans.
Yeah. I mean,
they're probably right.
About what?
It being a better gig.
The LSU being a better gig than
USC. I mean,
USC.
I like the perks that USC offered.
Well, it's good for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
the perks were amazing to go along with the pay, but I'm just saying.
Bought his house.
I just think that's going to be I'm going to reserve my opinions about it until a further day. Just saying, though. All that glitters, they ain't gold.
He's getting paid.
Good I mean, man. That's gold.
Yeah, good for
God,
him.
God, everyone's that's getting gold. Paid.
I yeah. mean, let's I guess in the end, you can't lose.
Well, let's just get into coaching.
I
Screw
told
this.
You let's think about doing it. I mean, with your sports IQ.
Talking about me?
My ability to recruit and talk to kids and
Thanks,
mentor
man.
Them. I mean, I think we'd be in, you know, Jonas with entertainment. He come in and every pre-meeting, we have Jonas come out with whatever the mascot of the school would be and do his dance.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
It's good stuff.
You'd be a well-paid mascot, though, Jonathan.
You would be a dope-looking Notre Dame. Well, they had to do away with that, huh?
The leprechaun?
Did they have to do away with that? Are you allowed to say that?
Racist.
You can't say leprechaun?
It's a fictitious character, LeVar. I mean, it's not offensive in any way. Like, people who thought it were looking for some in their parents' basement.
So I'm okay with saying that, right?
It's like saying you can't call it Jaws because it's insulting to sharks.
It's like saying the unicorns is offensive to horses.
Or saying that Sonny Dykes landing in the middle of the field was weird about that, right?
I would add the first name next time.
Yeah, I would add the first name.
But that's his name.
I know.
Thank you.
I mean, here's what I'd say is if you can find a post where it only involves his last name.
That might be the funniest headline ever of all time.
Probably on Brazzers, but we'll go ahead and leave it there. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. It's LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. You can hang out with us as always on the iHeartRadio app. So coming up next here on Fox Sports Radio, there is a situation to watch in the NFL. And I know what you're thinking, like, why are you stalling? Just get to the tees already. It's not like LeVar doesn't have the paper in front of him. No, listen, this is a legitimate tease here on Sports Talk Radio. We've got ourselves a quarterback controversy that is brewing, and it involves somebody who's a member of this show. We'll get into all that for you next here on Fox Sports Radio.
I appreciate my man Jonas Knox stalling until I found my library. And you know what that means? I'm going to send him an amazing gift. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be some Omaha Steaks, baby. The holiday seasons, they're around the corner. And finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. You know you got to eat. You hungry? Are you hungry? Go to omahasteaks.com and enter LeVar into the search bar or order the perfect gift package for $99.99. You'll get 24 entries like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons. Have you ever had bacon wrapped around your filet mignons? Chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. When you use the code LeVar, you'll also get, check this out, Jonas, an additional 8 Omaha Steak burgers free with your order. We've all heard the reports about shortages and shipping delays, so don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com, and you'll get 8 free burgers when you enter the code LeVar. Achieve gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and yes, 100% guaranteed.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just wholesome. Just some wholesome holiday music, you know? Just get you, makes you just feel good in the belly, thinking about, the lights, the holidays.
Sounds way better right before Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, definitely does.
I enjoy this one particularly.
Definitely line cutters, for sure.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Who'd you guys hire to put up your lights, by the way? Because I know you guys didn't do it. So who'd you hire to put up the lights?
I did my own lights.
Yeah, right.
I mentor enough kids.
I mean, I can't.
Enough of my kids/friends come over and hang up lights with
all your 18 to 22 year old friends.
It's a little beneath you guys to hang up lights.
I literally got my own tree, did our own lights, did all of it.
Yeah, sure.
It stresses me out.
The guy, I had a ladder, you know, worked up some BO, a nice lather, did my own lights, you know.
Yeah, but, we know you smell.
I bet your BO is the worst. You look like your BO is the worst, bro. Is it the worst?
Hey, Roberto, I think that qualifies. Go ahead. Hit it, please. Please do.
Nope.
Just please.
Racist.
Yeah,
oh,
damn right
on,
it is.
Berto.
Yeah. My BO looks worse. Yeah, I know what you meant by that.
What did I mean by that? Say it. Say it through say it through there.
Yeah.
Racist.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Damn right. There it is.
You got Berto right on cue with you. So that's how he does you, Berto. Like, he cues you and you do it. Like, you on command like that. You should hit racist for that one. Go ahead, hit it.
Hit racist.
It. Oh, no. Okay.
Two pros and a cup of Joe. It's LeVar
Arrington.
I'm
an outsider up in here. That's all right. I bet you won't say that after I give out them Christmas bonuses. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I bet you you'd be, yeah, now we okay.
Make it rain.
All right.
Damn right. All right, so we are going to get back into the
I was joking, by the way. I don't give out Christmas bonuses. That was just for radio.
We're going to go through the carousel because there's another name involved in all this coming up a little over 10 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, speaking of Notre Dame, Notre Dame, who had the meeting with Brian Kelly earlier, tried to get Brady Quinn to have some of his buddies call in, but unfortunately that didn't
happen.
I try not to bother my 18 to 22-year-old friends.
Yeah, I mean, you have younger friends. I don't know what to tell you.
They have classes and finals and stuff, right?
Yeah, they have, stuff that you do when you're in college, you know, which is,
preparing for another game.
Yeah, a friend is a friend. I'm not here to judge the age range of your friends, but I will say this. Somebody who just left Notre Dame, Ian Book, who's a quarterback for the New Orleans Saints, can we go ahead and just, move on from this Taysom Hill stuff? I get a Trevor Siemian stunk last time we saw him. Now Taysom Hill's getting some looks at number one. Can we get some Ian Book in here, Brady Quinn? At some point, can we get Ian Book into the lineup and start turning the page on the Taysom Hill experience? We know what he does. Mix him in a little bit, but I got to see Ian Book, the guy that I told you was going to be drafted by the New Orleans Saints when we did our mock drafts on the Sunday show, and I said the reason they were going to draft Ian Book, I broke down all the analysis, the all-22s, the arm slot, everything. It's because they needed another quarterback who had a mole on his face like Drew Brees had.
Oh, wow.
In steps Ian Book. We got to get him in the starting lineup. Come on now. Let's do this.
Purely because of the
mole.
Yeah,
which I think, maybe Ian has a mole. Drew is more of a birthmark or something. But anyway.
That too.
Yeah, it is a birthmark.
Same difference.
By the way, did you leave out the point that you had them taking Ian in the seventh round?
Listen, seventh, fifth, fourth, who cares? It's a numbers game.
That's so says someone's never been drafted.
So what are you talking about?
Just saying.
How do you know I've never been drafted?
I'm just saying.
Look at
been drafted.
So we do a top 10, bottom 10. As you can imagine, Jonas likes to be on the bottom, so he is the bottom 10. He is the bottom 10 of the seventh round. Of the seventh round of the draft.
Yeah.
And that's where he had placed Ian Book to the Saints. So he did get the team right. In his defense, he did get the team right. It's
a couple rounds off. That's fine.
I am with you. I don't know what you need to find out about Taysom Hill as a quarterback. You've seen enough. He's been there with you long enough. You drafted Ian Book for a reason. Let's put him in now to play. He's been there long enough as a rookie where he should have enough comfort with, a downplayed game plan. You put in Taysom Hill as that kind of wildcat changeup, and you go on from there. I mean, them putting Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback, Sean Payton must feel like he still has a shot at the playoffs. But even if that's the case, how far are they really going? And I think if they put Ian Book in, get him some experience, you're then at least seeing what you have in your draft pick, not only this year but for the future. So to me, it makes all the sense in the world. I really don't understand the reasoning for putting him Taysom at this point. I understand they just signed into that new contract, but you're only going to pay him more the more passes he throws. So it kind of doesn't make sense in my mind, at least, given everything that I think the Saints are dealing with right now.
By the way, didn't they protect him when they were making cuts or roster cuts or whatever? Like, because they were high enough on Ian Booker, they saw enough with him that they said, you know, let's keep this guy around. So here's your opportunity. I mean, you have clearly a need at quarterback. Like, I don't understand, especially a guy like Sean Payton. We talked about it a little bit last week. Sean Payton's got an ego. Like, you tell me he wouldn't like to turn a mid to late round draft pick into a legitimate starter in the NFL. I mean, there's a narrative about Sean Payton, and now Drew Brees is gone. They're starting to fall apart. Like, why? I don't know, man. Look, I get they're technically still in the playoff hunt. I don't think anybody thinks of New Orleans as a legitimate playoff team. But with their situation,
I think if you're
going to
do it, you do it now.
Yes,
right. Right. You have nothing to lose, everything to gain. I think you guys had spot on with Taysom Hill, but if you're looking to see if Book can be your guy every down. And not think about getting someone else. I mean, yeah, I don't think that this is the wrong time to do
go,
it.
Go, man. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, would you want to kick the tires on it before you go into the offseason so you know a little bit what you're working with?
You would assume.
Yeah. Let's go,
you
man.
Would assume.
Get him in there, man.
Get him going.
Huge Notre Dame hour on this show, man.
Yeah. Really Golden Domer, baby.
All Notre Dame talk.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.